the talking heads are chattering again and again. That's all they're doing on TV and the news. I guess I'm a talking head, and so is Jeff Carlin. But we're on the Chicago way, and we don't chatter. Now, the deal today, as we tape this, is the president is going to make a statement, another one of his statements about, you know, the airlift out of Kabul. And I guess the question for me, and maybe for you and Jeff, is how can he change the subject? And at the same time, I'm thinking, Lori Lightfoot, mayor of Chicago, your city is in chaos. It's unmoored. People are getting shot. That woman was shot on the expressway going to Orland Park after a White Sox game, killed. Nobody has their microphones in Governor Pritzker's face. There isn't a pack of reporters around Tony Preckwinkle or Kim Fox to say, what are you doing? All it is Lori Lightfoot, and she's checking out. And there's chaos to come. Not only violence, but political chaos to come. Talking about this with me today is my good friend, co-host here, and Master Baker, and Master of Sound, an executive producer at WGN Radio, one and only Jeff Carlin. And if you hear what you like to hear, and it sounds decent, it's because Jeff has made it so. Now, I'm asking all of you to subscribe free, and this is not costing you anything. Subscribe, get it in your feed, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, whatever the platform. This is free. And that's about the only thing that's free in this world on the Chicago Way podcast on WGN Plus.
In a tower by the river, there lived a man.
Castle.
There was a man who took a stand. With pen and paper in his hand, defeating foes in every ward with a pen more mighty than the sword. No escape from his ink lasso in a tower by the river, Castle.
Here's how you get him. He pulls a knife, you pull a gun. He sends one of yours to the hospital, you send one of his to the morgue. That's the Chicago way.
So, Jeff, got a couple questions for you.
All right.
We're sitting here, we're recording this on a Sunday. The president is about to speak, and I really don't care what he says. I really don't. I mean, I've already heard a lot. And I think most of the country, you know, has heard a lot. And you contrast what you hear with the pictures and the videos from Kabul, and the people falling off the planes, and the president saying this or that, and then being undercut by his own staff. And Lori Lightfoot, her problems, the city unmoored, violent crime every day. A lot of people go on Google or wherever and type in Chicago violence today, and you see a new issue of the mayhem.
Yeah.
So how do they change the subject, Jeff?
You're talking about Biden and the mayor?
Yeah, how do politicians change the subject? Maybe Lori will accuse you of being a racist.
Yeah, that's certainly one way. That's, you know, we call that spin, right? Taking in spin away from them.
Yes.
I guess, yeah. I don't know. I mean, I don't think he can get away from this one. It's just got too many facets of appeal to too many different people, from, you know, the people, military types who feel like they're being abandoned or being blamed somehow, or the average person who feels like, yeah, you know, we should be out of Afghanistan, but also feels for everybody who's there who can't get out. And I don't know. If I was the president, I would not be holding quite so many addresses, maybe, because they're not helping him. I mean, nobody's watching them and saying, oh man, I feel more confident about what we're doing there, right?
It's almost, Jeff, like every time he opens his mouth, he looks in the camera, his eyes are unfocused, blue and wet. And he's like so many of these characters you see in science fiction, where the bureaucrat takes over the captain's chair, and then the Klingons are shooting, and he's like, "What do I do? What do I do?" You know, and it's sort of like that, and it's pathetic and dangerous and sad. And they do always have to change the subject, but I agree, he's not going to change the subject much. I mean, maybe we'll have to pitch this whole recording and record a new one, but I don't see it. Now, let's get down to ground level, though. What about Lori Lightfoot? How can she change the subject?
Yeah, I mean, she does have, you know, there's discussions about budget issues, and there's ideas of infrastructure, but I think the subject's going to be changed for her as the discussions of ward remapping are going to happen, at least in City Hall. You know, pull some pressure off of her, because that energy to make the city into what the census says it is, is going to take over, and you're going to see a lot of energy put behind that, because there's a lot of power at play, up for grabs, really.
You bring up a good subject, so let's get to that.
Yeah.
While the city is undergoing unprecedented levels of violence, we've just buried a police officer who was kind of like, I mean, everything I've heard about her is like she's an angel, and I even used the fall an angel's a statue of the sad angel on my column on the Ella French.
Yeah.
And then we've got the Dan Ryan shooting, more expressway shootings, all this stuff. Little kids shot in the back of their mommy's car, dead. Yeah. A 7-year-old named Serenity. All that's happening. And then more chaos, which is, as you pointed out, the census.
Yeah.
Indicates that there will be a battle royal between Black and Latino aldermen over power in the city council, with whites, I guess, divided and siding one way or another. And those groups themselves, there's not unanimity among all Black politicians or all Latino politicians. So in that context, Do you see more chaos?
I do. I really do. I mean, there's going to be such a power play, and for those who aren't aware, I mean, the census data has come out on the demographics, but the at large demographics for the city of Chicago, and they've shown what we've talked about here plenty, is that you know, middle class and it's across the board, but Black Americans are leaving Chicago because there's nothing for them, or they're finding things elsewhere. And Hispanic in the city is a growing demographic, and they've overtaken the quote unquote Black demographic as a group, as a minority in the city. And that means that ward maps have to be redrawn, because the population densities are different in all the different wards, and they're going to make it so. And it's every 10 years by city statute that they should redraw the maps to update with the census. And so that sets up two things. One, the city council is going to go into closed doors and start working on a map without any public input or public oversight or public real knowledge of what's happening. And if they can't get that done, this it triggers a second thing, which would mean that it would go could be pushed to a referendum vote, and then the citizens themselves would vote on ward remapping, which would be a just a tangled mess in its own right. Where does it go? No one knows. I mean, you can't say for sure. But we do know for sure that it's going to be chaos, and in the city as it's already dealing with tons of problems, is going to then throw this smoke bomb in the middle of it, and who knows what's going to happen. I mean,
I guess we'll know what's happening by the amount of blood pouring through the bottom of that, you know, from that door. And I would like to appoint Jeff Carlin as the man with the stick to tell us how many centimeters there are on a given day. But the other thing is that it illustrates a point that many of us on the Chicago Way have been making for quite some time, which is the Democratic Party, and this is not about bashing them, but they think in terms of racial identity, right? Identity politics. The chief exponent of that is none other than Mayor Lori Lightfoot, who talks about equity, not equality of opportunity, but equity. So if you define people as I don't, and as Jeff Carlin doesn't, and as many good people do not do, define them by their race, another immutable characteristic, you know, that you can't help it. You were born white or black or brown. It was what happened to you. All you can do is act like a good person and a human being. But there's this political dynamic that impresses political virtue or evil upon you, depending on these immutable characteristics of race and gender. That's what the equity people are all about. So now they get in the back room. They start carving the city up based on that. To me, that suggests larger and more chaos at a time when we're going to have elections. The election of Toni Preckwinkle, if she's running, which I think she is, because she's the boss Democrat and hates Lori Lightfoot, even though Lori swept her. Yeah. The election of Lori Lightfoot is coming up, but I don't see her running again. The election of Governor Pritzker is coming up.
Yeah.
And he's running as, I don't know what, Governor Big Boy is going to give everybody a burger.
Yeah.
Hold it out on the platter, that silver platter of his billions and billions. And all that suggests to me, Jeff, that we're in for a bumpy ride.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd say this summer so far has been, from a political standpoint, quite calm versus what the fall is going to bring, and then eventually the spring, and of course, for some reason, the state, the summer is where we pushed our primary back to. I don't know. You're right, John. I mean, it's going to be quite chaotic, and then you throw in, you know, the occasional looting or mass shooting.
I should laugh. Right.
I know, right? Laugh. I mean, I'm being flippant, so that's the humor in it. But I don't think Lori can run again. I don't think it makes sense for her to run again. You know, it's one thing to ride off into the sunset. It's another thing to get pushed off into the sunset. I think if I were she, I would just walk away from it and be like, yep, I tried. I thought I could do it. The machine, the Chicago Way, ate me alive.
Did it, though, Jeff?
Good luck to the next person.
Did it eat her alive? Or did she take bad advice? I hate to say this because, you know, I don't want to sound like a broken record. But we talked about this with her.
Yeah.
With the mayor when we were all friends and getting along.
Right.
And I know there are trolls out there, and I like the trolls because they're barking like little doggies, barking like, you know, like in Reservoir Dogs,
mm-hmm.
Where one of the characters, who was he, said, is there a doggy barking? Are you going to bite little doggy? You know, okay, right. Little doggies on Twitter, bark. It's not going to change anything.
Right.
It's not going to change that Lori Lightfoot is a disaster. It's not going to change anything about the violence. And I have something to tell you that I heard.
Oh.
Maybe it's not true, but we can talk about rumors, right?
Sure.
There's a rumor going around that she knows she's done. She's not going to run. And the rumor is that she explored the possibility of going back to her law firm.
Oh.
And they didn't want her.
Jeez.
Now, I don't know if it's true, but it's the kind of thing that the reason why I'm mentioning it, it's the kind of thing that's released at a time when a chief executive is going underwater.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and I'll say complete disaster for her. I'll back her up in what her reforms of some of the power structures and the way aldermen are able to wield things. And she's done some good in not obviously correcting corruption and eliminating corruption, but doing and some which other, you know, other mayors who came in who had too many were beholden to too many people couldn't do. So I'll give her some of that credit, but I say, yeah, at large, it's been a pretty bad run. And when I say she has been eaten alive by the Chicago machine, I mean, she tried to throw monkey wrenches into it or other, you know, insert other item to throw into a machine and destroy it. And it spit it out and took her arm with it. I mean, she didn't play the game at all. Thought she could come in and somehow had a cachet to push people around because she got elected, which sure you definitely get a quasi mandate for being so vastly elected.
But, yeah. 70%. I mean, she did because people wanted a change, but then what did she do? She gave them a change by, she started off. I was just on the Donilon report. We've had Joe Donilon on our podcast.
Yeah. Front of the show.
And he had Pat Murray, who was a former police union guy. Mm-hmm. He was on that broadcast, and I didn't bring it up because, you know, the host, I kind of wanted to respect the host. I didn't want to hijack his his show. But Pat Murray was trying to for the FOP was trying to speak at a city council meeting just when Lori Lightfoot came in, and she turns on a hot mic and says, "Who is this clown?" or something
this clown again.
This clown again. This bleeping clown again. That's not how you run a city, by starting a war with the police or by starting a war with the unions of any kind.
Yeah.
You got to be smart. But
yeah, we don't need to rehash all of her downfalls. I mean, I was just making a point. I just don't want us. I mean, I just saying that you and I kind of get into a routine of picking her apart, and the evidence is there. I mean, people, if you don't think that she's doing a bad job, then you're living in a different state. But
well, okay, let them think that whatever they think. How's this one for you that we haven't really touched on?
Yeah.
Both of us don't think she's going to run again. She might surprise us. You know, things happen. Change is always a function of politics. Mm-hmm. But while it's going on, there's a new machine rising. They've started construction on the Obama Temple of Love and Fealty, and even the Supreme Court didn't stop it. So it's being built. They're going to tear down all the trees. It'll be built. And who's running for mayor, even though unofficially, but Arnie Duncan, former Barack Obama and Richard Daley meat puppet, is going to run for mayor of Chicago. I believe it's not an official. He's being propped up by Father Flager already in media. He's being propped up by John Rogers, Megabucks investment guy, and he's being propped up in the Tribune in an op-ed page where he's talking about the roots of violence or something or whatever nonsense. It's just. And I could tell, and Jeff, you and I kind of discussed this off mic. I could tell. I wondered. Well, when I was reading that Arnie Duncan op-ed, it was like I was reading the words of Peter Cunningham, one of the Daily spokesmen.
Yeah,
right. Writing it for Arnie. So, and Lori sees all this out there. And here's another thing she sees. And anyone who's running for mayor will see it. Toni Preckwinkle might not be the beloved grandmother of Chicago, but she is the Democratic boss, and she is president of the Cook County Board of Commissioners.
Yeah.
She's got her election in November. Whoever wants to run for mayor after that will have to, I think, kiss her ring.
Oh, certainly.
And how's that going to be? How?
Yeah.
Would Lori's lips stick to it? Stick to that ring the way like a kid, you know, licks a frozen pole in the what was that movie where he couldn't get off? He licked the
story.
Yeah, Christmas Story. Right?
To be fair, I did that too once when I was a kid at school.
Well, I got to think that it hurt, and I got to think that that Tony Preckwinkle ring will be icy cold.
Oh, absolutely. And that would be the scenario in which I think Lori would run again if she can grovel her way back to Tony and concede lots of things. You know, I don't know what else she has to give up other than just installing Jesse Sharkey as the head of CPS. I mean, there's nothing. What could she do?
Well, one thing, she's
Tony's not going to just take it on. Oh, yeah. You know, I'm really sorry. And I'll listen to you and I'll do, you know, the things you want. But that she's going to need more than that.
We talked about it on the last edition of the Chicago Way, where Lori tried to tell a fib about, you know, the slow roll for the body of Ella French at the morgue, and that idiot first deputy chief saying, "We don't have time for this shit." And then she defends him and says, "Oh, Lori, oh,
it was a protocol."
Yeah, because of protocol from the morgue. And Tony stepped on that one real fast and sent out some statement. No, it's not it. It's not it. We don't do that.
Right. Yeah.
Another issue on this thing.
Yeah.
And the reason we're talking about it is because others don't. But it's right out there in front of your face. And that's what we do, Jeff and I. So if you like what we do, I would hope you'd subscribe and give us great reviews.
Yeah.
But here's another one you're not hearing about. I keep being asked by judges, prosecutors, cops, Democrats, because I married one, and I also, you know, have friends who've been in politics for some time. And they're all asking me this question about Lori Lightfoot and Kim Fox. And they're saying, why doesn't Lightfoot, you know, she sends David Brown out to criticize the prosecutors not doing their job, criticize judges. Mm-hmm. But why doesn't Lori Lightfoot do it herself and go and point at one of the those responsible for the lawlessness in Chicago? And that is, I would offer not only Lori, but Cook County State's Attorney Kim Fox.
Yeah.
The Soros backed prosecutor, let him go prosecutor, one who does, you know, the Tribune, to its credit, did a story on the amazing amount of felonies that Kim Fox drops,
right,
she won't prosecute. And so, to my former colleagues, a hat tip to you guys for doing that, and to the Sun-Times for doing one on the alleged killer of Officer French, who should have been in jail on another beef and wasn't.
Yep.
So with all that, Jeff, they keep asking me, judges, a judge just called me just before we did this podcast. Why won't Lori, you know, John, you know, Lori doesn't like Kim Fox. Why won't she stand up and tell the people, point to her and say, this is one of the reasons why all these people are getting killed, or there's so much violence?
Yeah, I mean,
why won't she do it?
I gotta believe that that's the of her and Tony's relationship is, you don't get in the way of my agenda, which is clearly to depopulate the prisons and criminal system, speak for a better, quote unquote, better world.
Right.
And, you know, as long as that's the only thing that Kim Fox has to fight against, you know, that's the only credible threat against her execution of her job, she's fine, because she's got that down pat. She can spin it. She can tap-toe around it. She's like Muhammad Ali when it comes to that stuff. She's just better at everybody else, and can't hold her accountable for it because she won an election twice. You know, she's been endorsed by the mayor. I mean, she's brilliant in that sense, and it's the city's streets are suffering. You know, she's got the same talking points. She can't get her off her talking points. She's doesn't get hot and heated like the mayor does when she's pushed on things that, you know, criticisms.
Yeah, she doesn't say, what bucket of chum did you stick your hands in for that question, like the mayor. But she does say, bless you, John Cass. Bless you. Which I don't think means bless me.
I've talked
to a number of clerics, and they tell me, no, she's not really blessing you. But if I don't see how Lori Lightfoot can survive, if she wants to survive, if she doesn't call Kim Fox and Preckwinkle out. But if she to do so, then she'd run up against the same identitarian, you know, politics all about race. And media, I think, in this town are so liberal that they might condemn her for it, you know?
Yeah.
There's nothing like white people enforcing rules for how black people and brown should live.
Right.
But I see that too. I see if she ever smartened up and started going after Kim Fox herself, that she would be subject to criticism in the pundit world. Not by me, by others.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's probably right. But again, I think it goes back to the logical piece there is, why wouldn't you do that? That's the, you know, the fighter's fight. But if she's not in that fight, then there's a reason. What's the reason? I think it is that she's begging and hoping and praying that she's going to be able to somehow get the backing of Lightfoot, or not Lightfoot, Preckwinkle and company.
Oh, you mean like, hey, Tony, I didn't criticize Kim, so come on, man. Like that kind of thing? Like, aren't you going to help me? Right. Is that kind of like Joe Biden asking the Taliban to escort our people to the airport where they're under siege in Afghanistan right now? I'm not comparing Tony to the Taliban, okay? I disagree with Madam Preckwinkle on a number of things, but I'll tell you one thing. She's a smart political operative.
Oh, yeah. She's smart. She keeps the people who need to be happy, happy. And she is not afraid of anything. I've never seen her shy away from a fight. So, and I mean, by fight, obviously, I mean, you know, political fight.
I've been covering her for 30 years, and I'll tell you that she does have guts.
Yeah.
You know, she...
And long reach too. I bet she could, you know, if we were in her payday, I bet she would have been a good sparring partner.
Well, speaking of sparring partners, I remember when a bunch of old time boxers who were promoters and stuff helped her in the Fourth Ward to get rid of Tim Evans, who's now her like servant in the county government. Timmy, I know people liked him, and a lot of people do, because he never bothers anybody. He never says anything that's remotely controversial. But he's the chief judge of the Cook County Court.
Yeah,
and he changed a lot of the judges in the bond court.
Yeah,
to go into this program where we're going to let people out and put them on electronic monitoring, even if they're murderers.
Right.
And if they kill people while they're on the bracelet or shoot people, guess what? We're not going to be held accountable because there's too many wokesters in the Chicago media. There's nothing more malleable than a white liberal who doesn't want to be called a racist. So they get a pass. And then this woman, we see it all the time, like this poor woman shot on the expressway, dead. Nobody in the faces of the politicians. yeah. or the baby's shot. And Lori gets, you know, Lori takes the blame because she's mayor. And she's started her fights with the cops, and the cops hate her for valid reasons. Going back to Bobby Rush popcorn and all the other stuff. And that's where we are now.
Yeah. And, you know, earlier this past week, Brendan Riley was talking you know, about the violence in the city and downtown and how it's hurting things and it's just out of control. And he made the point, which, you know, I can't believe this is not the way it is, but if you in this town, if you are involved in committing a crime and you have a gun on your possession, you can be out on the street in 24 hours. In his worldview, which I support, if you commit a crime in this city, and I don't care if it's less, you know, stealing a gallon of milk, but if you commit a crime and you have a weapon on you, and it's you're not by law required holding that weapon legally, you should automatically go to jail, no bond, no bail, and that's it. That, you know, you're 6 months, you're out. And you get caught again, you know, and that should be what it is. But no, you commit a crime, you pistol whip somebody on a subway or on a bus or on the street. You come back in 6 months and we'll see if we can figure out what your punishment will be. Well, what are you doing in that 6 months? The same shit you just did with and blatantly, because it doesn't matter.
And the people see it.
Right.
And they feel it. And they know what's happening, and they leave. They vote with their feet, and they're gone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Riley sees it, and no one will accuse the alderman of being a right winger. Okay,
no.
he's a progressive, and oddly enough, just a few weeks ago, the white progressives were being shouted down as white supremacists.
Yeah,
that's how by their colleagues in the city council, which is where that remap thing's going.
Right,
and. You point out something now. Okay, I'm going to ask you something as a news manager, even though you're not running your news station and I'm not running a newspaper. But when I worked at a newspaper, I was always pushing for something that got me in hot water with colleagues of mine who ended up getting what they wanted, which is why I left. But here it is. Why aren't we covering bond court seriously? Why isn't there coverage of bond court the way it used to be? Why do I have to go to CWB?
Yeah.
Which is the little secret. Can we just tell people? The little secret of news shops now is to go, like Marianne Ahern was talking about it the other day.
Yeah.
You have to use internet sources for tip sheets, and then you go and find it out. And people are being bonded out. Sorry. People are being bonded out regularly, like Alderman Riley say.
Yeah.
And why aren't we hearing about it, Jeff? Why aren't we seeing it? Why isn't it in everybody's face?
Yeah, I don't have a good answer for that one, John. I did.
I'm not holding you responsible, no, my friend.
I know you're not, but I like having answers. You know, that's yeah. I think one part of it is the, you know, body counts is in newsrooms and coverage. You know, we've talked about this and the clickbaiting, you know, capitalist mentality of news these days is that it's, you know, if it bleeds, it leads has gone to the extreme, and there's so much of that happening that you couldn't cover that stuff and cover the important stuff. You know, it just can't. It just is too much of that. And that stuff's public record, so it could be tackled after the fact, you know, if it's needed, if it's something happens after someone's been bonded out, which happens way too often. But you're right. I mean, and that's, and I think, you know, I think that's one of the things that we're seeing is, like, we've talked about this too, the whole idea of the progressive movement in decriminalizing court systems, you know, depopulating, for lack of a better term, on my end, in not just putting everybody impossible in jail and keeping them there. That mentality comes from a good place, and I agree with it, too, that there was plenty of problems with our judicial system that need to be addressed. But the pendulum, and we've talked about this, has swung way too far. And the people swinging the pendulum don't see a problem with it. They don't see a problem with bonding out the guy who put a gun in the hands of a 13-year-old boy at 3 o'clock at night that wanted him, getting him killed by a cop. They didn't see a problem with that. Well, his name is on the list, so we bonded him out.
Or how about this? Bonding out the guy who got in a serious car accident in the loop and who walks and then later shoots two cops.
Right.
One dead. Ella French is her name. Here's another name. Denise Hugolet, 67. The one I referred to at the top of this podcast, grandmother, special education teacher from Orland Park, murdered, shot to death in her car on the Dan Ryan while coming home from the Sox game. Now, how am I supposed to get to the Sox game?
Yeah.
What expressway do I take, Governor Pritzker? Do I take the Eisenhower? Tell me, Governor.
Yeah, and he won't come near it because it's too close to home, literally.
But he won't be... I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. I could, you know, I'm often wrong, but I'm not wrong about this. I don't think this city is a great city. It's being run into the ground by idiots, by people who think only in terms of race. You're a good man, Jeff. I know it because I've known you for years. And you don't want people thrown away into jail without chance for bond.
Yeah.
I don't either. I'm not saying I'm a good man because I'm not a good man, but you are. But I think that people deserve a chance at bond when they're accused of a crime.
Yeah.
This is not China, right, or Cuba. But the problem is when they have a history of violence, you let them out and things happen that degrade public order. And then the elected officials who are in charge of it won't even say anything. And Lori won't say anything, even though she knows what's going on, because she's all wrapped up in her politics of race and her equity and all that other nonsense. So it's bad.
Yeah, the lines are drawn, and I don't see anyone stepping over the lines to get anything of value done. I just don't. And to top it all off, Rahm Emanuel is going to be the ambassador to Japan. And where is the progressive movements, the Black Lives Matters of the world, where are they protesting that? Nothing.
Well, because it doesn't fit. Their useful idiot pundits might use it to change the subject away from, you know, if I were Lori Lightfoot, I would be like, okay, write about Rahm Emanuel and chopping off his finger, read Cass's old columns, go to old Chicago ways where you can hear it, and write about that. You know, the finger, the Yakuza, the bluegills, change the subject, yeah, right? But yeah, where are they? They're just nowhere, man.
Nope. They're just, I don't know.
Can you at least, before, as we wrap this up, could you please cheer me up somewhat?
Sure, John.
Okay.
I got one for you.
All right, you go first.
Well, as we record this, it's National Eat a Peach Day. So I know you had a chance to sample some delicious peaches you were taunting me with. Where'd you get them from?
There's peaches from Michigan called Red Haven.
Nice.
I scored some. And just you know, give myself another little bit of insulin. Okay.
Well, yeah.
And then I just love that I haven't been down to Calhoun County, but Eat a Peach Day, and it's got to be Jeff Beck is the anthem. I got one for you. I've never wanted to have sex with aliens. Okay. You know, the aliens that come down and grab you from the sky.
Sure.
And always it turns out that usually they have sex with people. You know, that alien assaulted me.
Sure.
And, but here's the thing. Is this thing real now? Because you're Mr. Science, and I keep hearing reports about aliens, like, real. I'm not talking about the illegal ones that Biden is letting across the border by the millions. you know, and they're probably going to be Afghanis with carrying stolen ground-to-air missiles.
Yeah.
But I'm talking about the real aliens. Is that a real thing?
First of all, what you're referring to are the unidentified flying objects or unidentified aerial phenomenon, UAFs. Or UAPs, rather. That's not, yeah, I mean, those are things are happening, but people want to say that they're, you know, they're aliens. Well, that's a pretty big leap to say they're aliens or extraterrestrials. So, no. Surely on the fact that it just so happens that every video ever shot of quote unquote aliens on our planet seems to be shot with technology that's 40 years behind the current time. So, that alone leads me to believe that that stuff's not legit. But are we asking the question of whether or not there are other creatures out there? Well, that's an absolute fact. I mean, you can't.
What other creatures? Like chupacabras? Like eating cow? Like no, sucking on. Cow's blood? What are you talking about?
I'm talking creatures outside our planet. There's certainly no doubt that they are out there. Whether they are intelligent or just microbes or they could chase down the human race and, you know, annihilate us. That's not very likely. The technology required to travel the cosmos and find another civilization is so drastically beyond the scope of our minds, but also beyond civilizations in general. There's a idea called the Fermi paradox or the Fermi horizon, and it essentially points out that most civilizations will collapse under some other means or some other conflict before they could get to the point where they could create technology that was powerful enough to transit the cosmos, because the energy required for that is so immense that you would need technology that's, we're talking like thousands of years beyond what we have on this planet now. And you think civilization is going to make it 1,000 years beyond where we are? Maybe.
Well, we got 12 years to live, according to Greta Thunberg. You have betrayed me. Right. And whatever her name is, that fashion model who was called Sandy Cortez, living in Westchester. Now she's the hipster commie from Brooklyn named Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. We got 12 years or less.
Well, that's a whole other discussion. But yes,
find warp speed. I want you to, Jeff, someone will find it and we can leave this planet and explore.
Finding warp speed.
We could boldly go where no one or no man has gone before. That's the point.
I will say, though, that there is a very interesting piece of science that just developed this last past week that European scientists were able to collide two gold atoms and ricochet them off, creating energy and mass rather from energy, which is like the basis for like what would be a warp speed drive, right? The type of thing. That's what the sun is. The sun is this idea that energy is creating mass, and that's why stars are so dense. It's a big, deep physics rabbit hole we could get into. But I will say that did happen this past week, which is pretty amazing. And the gist of it is they got two pieces of gold atoms, spun them up to speed that are beyond close to the speed of light. And when they collided, their energy created other mass, like another whole atom, essentially. And that is amazing. That is something that human race has been working on for 40 years, and this is the first time they've had any fruit from it. And yeah, we might get there in 1,000 years, but you'd be pretty hard pressed to make it past all the other crap we have to deal with.
I'm amazed, sir, that you would that the gold atoms would smash together and that you would just discount it as nothing.
Wow.
Because there's only one way out of here besides feet first, and that's on a starship, okay? Especially out of Chicago. So please hurry up. For Jeff Carlin, executive producer at WGN Radio, Master Baker, Master of Sound, Mr. Science, enticing us with warp speed that just a few more atom crashes away. And for me, John Cass, husband, father, columnist at your favorite news site, where there are no left turns, johncassnews.com. And for you out there thinking about what's going to happen with the wokeness and the identity race politics and the remap and how so few people are commenting on it and the violence and Lori Lightfoot's hesitancy to criticize Kim Fox because she knows what would happen. And you know what would happen too, because you've been here and you're here with us on the Chicago Way on WGN Plus.